News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is with us. He's a superlative co-host, super-duper Republican. He's so many things to so many people, but most importantly, at the dinner table, he's Papa to his grandchildren. And so we appreciate him coming in, Mayor of Shamokin Dam. He's the head of the Global Tsunami and Earthquake Responses now. He is also a Hall of Fame broadcaster with the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters. Welcome aboard, sir.
And you missed my latest one.
Oh.
I'm now a vice president of the State Mayor's Association.
Oh, you got a promotion. Good
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, got a promotion.
Do you wish to
doubled my salary, too, by the way.
Oh, did from zero to almost
to
nothing.
Zero.
Okay, and do you wish to be president of that particular organization?
No, we have an outstanding president.
Okay.
I'm a regional. We have vice presidents for the west, center, and eastern part of the state. I've got the center.
All right, and I know the State Mayor's Association has had a big impact in Pennsylvania because?
Well, because they're working on so many different things to improve life in Pennsylvania. Right now, they're working on radar. That's our primary legislative effort for the...
You need a different obsession, buddy.
Well, we haven't got this resolved yet. You know, speed is... Pennsylvania still ranks third in highway speeding fatalities, and that's something we need to address. And a large part of the reason for that is because of unequal enforcement of the speed laws, because the state police have radar, municipal police do not.
I don't trust them.
Well, of course not.
All right, welcome.
That was perfectly obvious yesterday when you were defending those people who wanted to throw cops out of Starbucks.
What? I did never did any such thing.
Well, you always mischaracterize what I say. I'm just returning the favor.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, please take it back. All right. Well, Joe and I are back together, so we're going to do some sparring. We do have Mr. Rob Centers, our fabulous producer. He's just a super guy. Today he's not only wearing the three or four hats that he always wears, but he's wearing a hard hat as he fixes one of our computers, which he's just doing a fabulous job, but running back and forth. So if you see Rob in the hallway wearing his white hard hat with the little built-in flashlight on the front, that's what he's doing. He's working on computers. He's trying to be Kevin, which those are enormous shoes to fill.
I'm not going to touch that one with a 10-foot bowl.
And that's all we're going to
say. Kevin's a friend of mine.
And that's all we're going to say about that. But thank you, Rob, for all your attention to that. We appreciate it. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. We very much appreciate their sponsorship. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You're welcome throughout our program or anytime, really, 24-7, to send us a note at onthemark@wdkok.com. And you can text us at 70236 for Text Connect members. Just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. You can sign up for Text Connect at WKOK.com. You don't receive any unwanted advertising. We do not sell your phone number to anyone. It is just an ultra-private method of us to send you a text message to say that there's breaking national or local news, that there's a major road closure. We did receive, I believe, two Text Connect messages were part of the very long delays yesterday because of that traffic accident in Shamokin Dam. So we did use Text Connect to notify individuals of those very long delays. And we also have an opportunity to send you about critical weather that's coming our way. So weather warnings often go up on WKOK Text Connect. So that's what it's all about. Very helpful for many, many people. Let's see. Where do we want to start?
How about we have some emails here from leftover from yesterday or about yesterday's program.
One relates to the U.S. southern border.
Two of them relate to the border.
Okay.
The second one relates to the border as well. Bob says, good morning. Americans need to show some respect that parents are trying to save their children. Low-income U.S. citizens do get free food and free health care. The world climate change is a big problem for South America, too. It's a shame Republicans have no care about anybody but themselves. What happened to love thy neighbor, peace on earth? Thanks, Bob.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, very well said.
Yes,
super.
Oh, yeah. Republicans, all we care about is ourselves.
That is not true. You care primarily about your money, then mostly about yourself, and then...
And why do you want the
party.
Police thrown out of Starbucks?
Another
you need
big
to
lie.
Rethink that issue.
You're promulgating fake news.
Well, you're
news.
Calling me saying the Republicans don't care about people. I think the difference between us is that we don't want to just throw money at problems. We want to try and do something that's going to solve them and give people a hand up, not a hand out.
That's a good one. Oh, my gosh. That's great.
Yeah,
all right. Next email, please.
Okay. This one, I like the title of this one. It's called Pastor Young and the Restless. I enjoy your program immensely.
Stop right there. Excellent
right,
email.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate
We appreciate that. Especially when your guests provide valuable insight on interesting topics. I was, however, stunned at the political overtones that Pastor Young blanketed the audience with Tuesday morning to such a degree that I wondered if the Methodist Church's new motto is liberal minds, open borders, empty wallets. Sure, Mr. Young's church is not tax-exempt, right? I perused the church's Facebook page and read about the Lights for Liberty event and how his group is fighting for children in the U.S. concentration camps. Really? Does his church's youth ministry provide a catechism for liberal thought as well? As an elder in my church and one who has lived near the border, I can only shake my simple-minded head at these left Christian activists misinterpret God's word and call it pluralism, ridicule time-honored values, and call it enlightenment. Signed, Duffy.
It's from our good listener, Duffy. So thank you very much for that. Right. Well, I think Duffy and you have a certain agreement that the proper way to interpret Scripture is your way and your way only, and that there's no other way to live, and you have to live the way you live.
We're running concentration camps on the southern border.
I think we have mass incarceration. Concentration camps a little strong.
You know,
having seen actual concentration camps, I think
you did?
Well, I mean, pictures of them. I haven't been to any.
Oh, well, I haven't seen your admission to one on any day of the week.
I'm sure you would. But seriously, concentration camp is a strong term, but we do have mass incarceration of individuals. It is not an ideal way to deal with it, but I'll be fair to Republicans and the president. It is a self-created dilemma, right? Is that the right word?
Well, who self-created?
Individuals who come to the U.S. illegally, seeking asylum or not leaving in a timely fashion are individuals that are being detained. So there is a process, slow, painstaking, expensive, tediously impossible for many people to enter the U.S. eventually, but that's, you know, the gate is not, nobody's advocating for open borders, so this is what happens.
They are advocating for open borders. I think people like AOC, she wants to, now she's
She said just take down the border and let everybody
in. She wants to get rid of ICE, and now she wants to get rid of Homeland Security.
Well, I think you're making that up, but show me your information. I'm on the open border.
Here's the story. Representative Olivia Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez last week suggested she was open to getting rid of the Department of Homeland Security in order to undo, quote, a lot of the egregious mistakes that the Bush administration did.
All right.
I don't think you make a mistake.
Listen,
Olivia doesn't really have
Joe, you're not fooling anybody. She's not getting rid of it just for the sake of getting rid of it so that there is no Homeland Security
anymore.
She
wants to undo a lot of the egregious mistakes that the Bush administration did.
Right. Thank you. To undo the parts that are un-American or
and what parts are
slowly found to be illegal.
What parts of Homeland Security are un-American?
Oh, my gosh. Geez, this idea of spying on Americans who've done nothing wrong, reading their mail, monitoring their snail mail, monitoring their email. These are innocent individuals.
Oh, yes. And they have to go to a FISA court to get that warrant, just like the Democrats did
against President Trump. This is President Bush's massive monitoring of everything. We have one call coming in. We'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565. Go ahead and read this.
We're in the middle of an argument, and you're trying to cut me off and shovel me aside.
Okay. If you want to re-argue the Patriot Act again, honestly, this idea,
but we're still doing it.
We haven't undone any of it.
The Patriot Act and the Homeland Security are not part and parcel of the same thing.
Of using the cell phone companies to monitor all of the cell phones, all of the calls that you make, not listening to the words of the calls.
So what are you trying to hide?
See, that's just it. You don't deserve freedom because you don't appreciate it.
I see.
Tom, you're on the mark. Let's get
those cops back in Starbucks.
Oh, here we go. Go ahead, Tom. You're on the mark. You really are.
I'll tell you whose fault this immigration is. It's all Donald Trump and his voters' fault. That's whose fault it is.
I agree. You're right on. Spot on.
When Donald Trump ran for president, I don't care what the issue was. It could have been health care, immigration, taxes, anything. Whatever it was, 100% of everything he said, I alone can fix it. That is exactly what he says. It's on tape a million times. I alone can fix it. His voters believed him. They voted for him and put him in there. It is the voters' fault, and it's his fault, 100%.
I think it's Nancy Pelosi's fault.
No.
And Chuck Schumer
can fix it.
They won't work with him to try and solve the problem. They don't want to give him a win.
They don't have to work with him. He alone can fix it.
Well, he alone can fix it with the right ideas.
He alone can fix it, Joe. That's the bottom line. There's no excuses for it. He alone can fix it.
So what if he started trying to fix it alone by issuing executive orders the way President Obama did?
You don't try to fix it alone, you fix it. He said, I alone can fix it. You don't try to alone fix it, you fix it.
All right, well, so he starts to fix it by issuing executive orders. You'll be on the phone saying it's terrible, the things he's doing.
That's what he's going to have to do then. He said, I alone can fix it, then I expect him to alone to fix it.
Okay.
It's just like the wall. He said, Mexico will pay for the wall. Mexico's going to have to pay for the wall. Why should I pay for it? He made the promise that he was going to build this great, big, beautiful wall across the southern border, and Mexico was going to pay for it. So let him keep his promise. Mexico should pay for it.
Well, I think that would be nice.
And he should fix the thing all by himself. That's his promises.
Okay, well.
They wouldn't let Obama go. I still hear this thing about Obama. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. This has been going on for 10 years now, and it still won't let it go.
Well, should they?
If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. So
what's the difference between that
promise that I alone can fix it?
Tom, what's the difference between the promise Obama made and the one that Trump made? Neither one has been kept.
He didn't keep it. He didn't keep it.
Neither did Obama. Neither did President.
Obama didn't keep his promise.
Right. Trump isn't keeping his.
Trump is not keeping his promise.
Okay, fair enough. He hasn't solved it on his own.
You know? That's right, and he said he would solve it on his own. He hasn't done it.
But what if he now has come to the field that he needs help from the Democrats to solve it? Should they give it to him?
No.
Why not?
He said he can do it himself.
Well, no, I'm saying,
he said, I alone can fix it.
If he came on and said, hey, listen, Tom, there in Sunbury, I can no longer do this myself. I see that I was wrong to say that. I need help from Nancy Pelosi.
He says, I screwed up. I lied to you.
Oh, he didn't lie.
I lied to you. I can't do it. I need help to do it. Then that's all right.
Well, if you ask me,
gonna do that.
If you've got a flat tire, Tom, and I say to you, Tom, I could fix that flat tire, and then I can't figure out how to get your spare out of the underneath your car. You know, it's not that I didn't have a good intention. It's just that I found out later I wasn't capable of doing it.
But the thing is he's blaming everything on the Democrats. It's always the Democrats. The Democrats' fault. The Democrats' fault. The Democrats' fault.
And the Democrats blame the Republicans. And the Democrats blame the Republicans. It's all the Republicans' fault.
I mean, the Republicans won't even go along with him on a wall either.
Well, you know, I think probably the idea of a wall works in some places, doesn't work in others. I think it's brash. I agree with you completely that it was brash to say we're going to build a wall and that's going to solve the problem. I think that's naive, to say the least. It doesn't solve every problem and it doesn't resolve every issue at the southern border. And to the extent that the president thinks it did, well, then he's wrong.
Well, I can't wait till the election when they start playing all these dumb things that this president said. And there's like a million things that this guy said and did. When they get on him, boy, I mean, it's going to be something else.
I can tell you're licking your chops in anticipation.
He's breathless with anticipation. All right. Thank you so much for calling in.
Don't be too breathless, Tom. Save enough breath to call back another day. Take care, buddy.
All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Joe's still in favor of the Patriot Act and all of its many incursions into constitutionally protected privacy.
Mark still believes police should be banned from Starbucks.
I do. Okay. Why don't we take a break, and you and I will settle this off air. 1-800-795-9565 is our wide-open telephone number. We are talking about what President Trump's policy, Homeland Security.
Well, we were talking again about
immigration,
on this conversation on the border, and
what to do about the southern border and who created it. Okay, let's
AOC's desire to get rid of Homeland Security in addition to ICE.
Well, to massively reform it so much that you barely recognize it. I think
she said she wants to get rid of it.
Well, I realize that. Come on, Joe, be realistic. Don't be such a fuddy-duddy.
Thank you, Dale. Dale's always saying to me, come on, Joe.
Yeah, come on, Joe. All right. All right, we'll take the break now. 1-800-795-9565. All four lines are open. No waiting. Go ahead. You're on the mark.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We're enjoying some emails that individuals have sent to us in the past 2 or 3 days. Let's see. We have open phones today, and let's see, what's today? Wednesday. Tomorrow's open phones, so no change there. Then Thursday, open phones. We will do the...
That's tomorrow.
Friday is the Financial Friday that we always have. And Bob Garrett of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce will be here along with Sue Green. They'll talk about the latest jobless numbers. We'll talk about Woodmode, new buyers lined up. So hopefully that will be taking place before too long. And we'll keep you informed about news on that particular topic. Then next week, Steve Kushiloff will be here with Joe on Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday will be Chris Helio. And Thursday, we don't know. I won't be here those particular days. I'm getting a couple of more days off. Plus, on Thursday, I'll be at the next Thursday at the ribbon cutting for the brand new playground, the all-inclusive playground, everybody's playground. So even Joe can play there. It's okay.
Is that what you'll be doing, playing in the playground?
I'm going to help cut the ribbon. Well, actually, I'm going to be the MC, and then that'll be during our show.
Why do you need an MC to cut a ribbon?
I'm not sure. I was invited and
you're going.
Requested to do so.
By
the Muckety Mucks. Well, no. Driving to Sealands Grove to MC an event is good, fun work.
Okay.
So I'll be looking forward to that. And you won't have me here another day. You should be happy. You won't see me at all.
I would miss you greatly.
This Thursday, you're not going to see me for 10 days. Are you happy now?
Yeah. After this Thursday.
You will see me Thursday, but then you won't see me until the 16th or something. No, 15th. Oh, no. You won't see me until the 22nd.
Does one need further proof that there's a God in heaven?
Yeah, boy.
All right.
When we were talking about something, somebody sent this. Joe,
right.
What's the background,
Cindy was talking about the governor's mandate to change the voting machines in Pennsylvania and putting the bill on the county commissioners, and she suggested the county commissioners do nothing, and they ignore the governor in this issue. And one of our writers says, bravo to Cindy for commenting on the nonsense with the voting machines ordered by Pennsylvania's governor. Even our president of the United States has to adhere to those who try to put the brakes on what he proposes from time to time. Why in the world does the governor have so much power? This is just wrong. No questions asked. His orders and we the taxpayers must adhere. I think she meant to say he orders and we the taxpayers must adhere. Huh? Oh, yes. He's a wasteful money spending Democrat. Go figure.
Well, I think there's updates on two fronts. One, Governor Tom Wolf is ordering a bond issue to help Pennsylvania's counties pay for the new voting machines after a disagreement between the Democrats and Republicans in the legislature. Governor Wolf announced the decision Tuesday to borrow up to $90 million without legislative approval after saying earlier in the day he's sure the sides can come to an agreement. Governor Wolf began pressing counties last year to replace their county machines after federal authorities warned Pennsylvania and other states that Russian hackers targeted them during the 2016 presidential election. Republicans resisted the move, but in late June abruptly backed the legislation with $90 million in borrowing authority. However, Governor Wolf vetoed it Friday because it included changes to election laws that Wolf says weren't negotiated and would not help improve voting security or access. So that's
What we haven't heard.
Let me just one more sentence. We know that this has happened. Plus, within the legislature, I believe it's the state senator is proposing the $90 million borrowing to get the ball rolling again.
Well, all of you people on the liberal side of things have just always yelled to Republicans, voter suppression, trying to do this, trying to do that. Mm-hmm. So here the Republicans come up with a law, Governor Senator Gordner proposes, that would allow a lot more freedom with respect to voting by eliminating the mindless straight ticket voting.
Straight party.
Right, and the Democrats are opposed to it.
Yeah, I never did quite gather precisely why that hurts Democrats, or maybe
well, I think
a lot of people
in Philadelphia march into the polls by rote and march straight Democrat.
Okay,
march,
so we want to keep that
out.
Going.
They want to keep
okay.
that going.
Okay.
If they had to think about all those people on the ballot, they might actually choose a Republican from time to time. I guess is the feeling.
Or an independent.
Or an independent.
Right. It would certainly help.
It certainly gives them right.
Right. It would certainly help those particular candidates.
And third party candidates, if they come up with somebody good and viable, they certainly would have a better shot at getting a few votes along the way. Last time I think a third-party candidate got a substantial number of votes was when Ross Perot got 19% of the popular vote when he ran for president.
Well, here's what Senator Gordner said about the idea of more people being able to get on the ballot and being voted for.
Every single Associated Press article referred to it as a decades-old program.
No,
we eliminated this program in 2011.
Try again, Senator.
Yes.
People look at each and every office and also allows minor parties and independent folks to have a chance. And that's absolutely the reason why he vetoed it. Eric Holder and other folks that are prominent with national democratic politics lit up the lines saying that that would hurt the Democrats in 2020.
Okay.
Right. And I know for a lot of small offices, and I've done it a time or two, when you get your own party's nomination and there's nobody on the ballot on the other side, you try and get their nomination too, because you get the benefit of all the straight ballots.
Okay.
You know, so it just makes it a little easier, a little mm-hmm. harder for somebody else to challenge you on a writing campaign down the road. So I think this is a wonderful idea to allow that. I also like the idea of open primaries, allowing people to vote, you know, who normally
well,
wouldn't
also,
be permitted.
To be fair, the governor said he also vetoed it because of the cockamamie commission that was proposed that would have limited the ability of counties to change the ballots at the last minute or something like that. Senator Gordner
changed the ballot at the last
yes,
minute?
Yes, it was the senator's commission that he had proposed that was just inserted at the last minute. But all of that was to do whatever the Republicans wanted and to fish for a veto so they could say, aha, you know, opposes straight party voting or the $90 million.
Well, unless the Democrats, and the only reason I can think of that they would oppose it is that traditionally 85% of Democrats vote the straight party ticket and only 32% of the Republicans do. That's the only reason I can think that you would oppose it, because
so
otherwise...
Are you trying to say we're mindless?
Well, I'm just saying that there's got to be some reason why what seems to me like common sense and a progressive thing to do would meet with opposition from the Democrats.
All right. Speedy dialers only. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Dan, thanks for calling in from New Berlin, PA. I haven't talked to you in 2 weeks. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning. Great to hear you gentlemen all back on the air again. And I'm calling about, we lost a great visionary yesterday, Ross Perot. Great man that had vision of what would happen to America. And if Ross Perot would have been elected, you know, maybe we wouldn't have all the people screaming how they hate Donald Trump. Because Ross Perot had the vision that NAFTA was going to ruin the country as far as jobs for the average working person. His vision came true. We did the jobs just fled out of this country like water downhill after they passed the NAFTA Act. Ross Perot had the vision that the countries in NATO should be paying their fairness, what they owe to the United States for us defending them instead of them having a free ride. He had that vision. Now the current president is working on both of them issues, plus Ross Perot was a different breed, a brilliant man, who is derated by Republicans, Democrats, the press. He was abused man.
All right, we got another call coming in. Can we finish this during the 9 a.m. hour? Let our other caller get.
All right. You have a good one, Mark.
Yeah, thank you, Dan.
I'll talk to you later.
Yep, good to chat with you again. Joe, you get a moment on the air. Go right ahead. 1 minute.
Well, I just wanted to correct what you said, Mark, about the Senate Bill 48. Your idea of a cockamamie commission, that was not thrown at the last minute. That was actually part of the original Senate Bill 48. I know that because I testified on it for the Republicans and for county commissioners as a whole.
Gotcha.
And there's a bipartisan testimony as well.
Well, that's not my, I'm quoting somebody in Harrisburg. I don't know who called it that. Not me. I don't actually know anything about it.
He wants to throw the cops out of Starbucks.
Oh, get out of here.
Well, now, Mark, you know, of course, not to believe everything that comes out of Harrisburg.
Right, exactly. And you stay out of there. You're going to become part of the problem if you go too far.
I'm headed there right now to make things better.
Oh, good for you. Okay,
hey,
good.
Joe,
thank you.
Quickly, can you think of any reason why the Democrats would oppose being able not to vote the straight party ticket?
Well, it's this mindless voting.
Well,
I think you're on it, Joe.
That's a whole other discussion, Joe, that you and I would probably disagree with. And although I was not in favor of that aspect of the bill, I supported the bill wholeheartedly.
Okay,
and all
enough.
The other aspects. Okay, thank you so
fair
much,
enough,
Joe.
Take care.
Come back and visit us, too, sometime. We'd love to have you back in the studio. You're listening to On the Mark, WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. With our calls, we're going right up to the top of the hour, which means it's time for CBS News. Immediately following some very brief news headlines and back to open phones. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury, 9 a.m.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show. Superlative co-host is Mr. Joe McGranahan and our fabulous producer. He just could not be any more fabulous, sir. I'll tell you what, he's Rob Setter.
He could be more fabulous.
What? What do you want him to do? Go get us coffee or something?
That's right. You send me out for your coffee, send Rob out. He's our producer.
That would be the last thing he has time to do. But if it involved making the show better, he would probably consider helping out in that manner.
I could make the argument that giving you a cup of coffee to calm you down would certainly be
coffee
something
does
that would make
calm
the program
me down.
Better.
It's like Ritalin for somebody who is ADHD. It's
Ritalin
a stimulant.
For caffeine addicts.
Right. It's a stimulant, but...
You louse it up with all that creamer.
Calms you down a little bit, so...
The only way to drink it's black.
On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check it out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. And you can text us at 70236. We were talking about the omnibus election reform bill that the governor vetoed. He vetoed it primarily because of Democratic pressure from beyond about the straight party ballot ban that would have been part of that bill, but there were several other elements that he said had not been negotiated, even though Joe Kent said actually it had been negotiated fully, and the governor's staff, unless they lived in the cave, would have certainly been very aware of that. So why can't you just send the governor each of those separately? Why do they have to be bundled into one thing so that they make it a huge showdown? You know what I mean? If you just sent him the election bill or the voting machine bill, he could have voted on that, then we'd be done with this.
Well, I think it was all tied together. It all had to do with elections. So
right,
it was
but send it to him separately because you know he's going to veto the whole thing, and then you've accomplished
like
nothing.
Sending every line item of the budget to him separately.
Well, no, it is not. It's just four major components.
If you want to do that, give the governor line item veto so that if the bill came through and he didn't like something, he could veto it. That would put him on the record as vetoing straight party voting.
He does have that for the budget, but just the budget, not individual bills.
For everything. Give it to him for everything.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. That's our current conversation at this precise moment. Earlier, we had some fabulous emails that related to immigration. One person really strongly disagreeing with the Reverend J.T. Young's remarks yesterday about how The church's response, and not just the local church, but the church-wide response, should be significant to the mass incarceration at the U.S. southern border that's brought on by individuals coming on in much greater volumes into the U.S. For asylum or seeking employment or staying too long or failing to submit for deporting.
As the website of the church says, those concentration camps were running on the U.S. border?
I think he was talking about the Facebook page of the individual page, local church, okay. Not the church-wide body. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check him out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You're always welcome to do as no one has done in the past hour, and that's email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. Some very brief news headlines. As we discussed, there was a traffic fatality on Routes 11 and 15 yesterday. A 66-year-old John Went died in that crash. His car crushed between two tractor trailers. Charges likely against the driver of the truck that ran into the line of stopped traffic. Minor injuries for both of the truckers involved. Of course, traffic was backed up 4 hours, 4 miles during that crash. I don't mean the numeral four, but backed up for hours. How about that? Investigation ongoing. No charges filed. Two Shamokin Dam police officers, state troopers from Sealance Grove and Montoursville, PennDOT, Shamokin Dam, Hummel's Wharf, Sunbury's Rescue Hose Company, Sunbury's Fabulous Fire Police, America's Hose Company, and Area Services Ambulance, along with Sealance Grove PD, all involved in assisting and making sure that a proper first responder response took place yesterday. As you heard, now I'll provide the context. State Senator John Gordon, very unhappy with the fake news coverage of the general assistance fight that took place in the state Senate.
Every single Associated Press article referred to it as a decades-old program. We eliminated this program in 2011.
Senator Gordner says AP never ran a correction after they had indicated the program had been ongoing when, in fact, it had been curtailed back then, even though Governor Wolf had briefly reprised it, but then it was eliminated once again. So far, President Trump and the U.S. Labor Secretary Alex Acosta are resisting calls for that particular cabinet official to resign in the wake of the Jeffrey Epstein scandal. Trump has said that he will have the case looked into, but that he hasn't stopped top Democrats like the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and some presidential candidates calling for Acosta to resign or be fired. Acosta fashioned a sweetheart deal that saw Epstein avoid serious legal consequences for his dealings with young women. What do you think about that? Is it time to make sure he's out of the administration?
I'm not certain what one has to do with the other. He may have made a mistake back then, possibly, obviously he did, but is he doing his job now? And why does a mistake he made years ago reflect on the good job performance he's doing now?
Right, and I failed to see why having somebody with a terrible resume is a precursor for not being involved in the Trump administration. I mean, everybody who's there is carrying all this dead weight and controversy with them. But look, people love the administration and the president anyway.
Well, I think that, you know,
look at the president.
I think he's going to back this guy up because, you know, the British ambassador who yesterday said got into hot water with the Trump administration for saying that the administration was inept. And what was the other thing? I forget what it was.
I don't know the other thing.
Oh, I have it here somewhere.
Okay.
But he resigned yesterday.
Oh, did he?
Yes, he did. He just saying he thought it was time because the president had said he wouldn't work with him again. And, you know, the president is notoriously thin-skinned. So I think if enough of this, enough people come forward saying this guy ought to resign, that maybe he'll wind up resigning, Acosta, Secretary Acosta. But I don't see, if he's doing the job now, I don't see what a mistake he made years ago should interfere. And when it was a bad mistake. Mm-hmm. But still, it was a mistake he made years ago.
Right, it was an enormous mistake. And it didn't go uncovered. It had been talked about prior to then. The Miami Herald that did the fabulous investigative coverage to talk about that at the time. So it was brought up and talked about then. It didn't require further investigation. So, you know, maybe that's it. Yeah, Miami Herald did the super coverage. One paragraph on that briefly. It says, the president of the Miami Herald says journalists journalists look to get into the field because they hope their work will have an impact. And Amanda Marquis Gonzalez says to have her paper's work cited as the basis for a major arrest is really gratifying. Prosecutors in New York cited the work done by the Herald in exposing the sweetheart deal given to Jeffrey Epstein that got him, that kept him from facing federal charges. We have two open phones. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number, but we do have a caller waiting. I do have one more news story, and I know Dan is patient because he's told us this. Joe, you're always happy because liberals don't put their money where their mouth is. Well, one of them just did.
Who was that?
This particular one. Nicki Minaj.
Oh, yeah? What'd she do?
She's pulling out of the July concert in Saudi Arabia because she says she wants to show support for women's rights, gay rights, and freedom of expression. The rapper says in a statement to the Associated Press that after careful reflection, she decided she no longer wanted to move forward with her scheduled concert at the Jeddah World Fest. Minaj was originally scheduled to headline the concert July 18th in Saudi Arabia. Gender segregation between single men and women is still enforced in many restaurants, coffee shops, public schools, and universities. She disagrees with that policy. All right, Dan, thank you so much for waiting.
She probably couldn't drive a car there either.
I think some are allowed now. Dan, what are you going to talk about? And go right ahead. You get another minute and a half or so.
Good morning. I was going to finish talking about Ross Perot, the visionary. Here's a man started out a lot different than Donald Trump. Ross Perot started out with nothing. He worked his way through everything. He worked paperboy, et cetera, through the Naval Academy and all that. Plus, he became a billionaire with his own genius and ran for president. Probably would have been one of the greatest presidents ever, but we'll never know because the media put him down, made him look like a ridiculous idiot, a pure genius in his time. And I'm sorry to say America didn't jump on the boat with Ross Perot. Who knows? We might have not had a Donald Trump to pick on now if he would have been elected. I didn't agree with everything Ross Perot stood for, but I knew he was a visionary for the American dream, and a great man that I greatly missed his genius. So,
all right,
okay.
And you know, they hardly mention it in the press.
Oh, and it was all over the news.
I think he's talking about his alleged genius.
At the time.
He's not an alleged genius, Joe. He's a true genius.
He's the real deal, Joe. Smarter than you.
He's a pure genius. If you could, I don't know of any of us that grew up in poverty and then became a billionaire and spent their own money, all of it, to run for president on the Reform Party. Spent $65 million of his own money, but America still wasn't ready for a change.
All right,
they
we got
still
you.
Were, they, because of the press, I couldn't believe how they berated that man. It was a crying shame.
Back in the day, you mean? Well, they were probably in favor of Bill Clinton, right? Wasn't it Bill Clinton one of his opponents?
Yeah, Bill Clinton and George Bush. I call him Senior.
All right, we've got to take another call.
They ran against him, and George Bush cried. He said, I lost the election because of that Ross Perot. And he lost because he wasn't a good candidate. That's the sad truth. Many of us,
we have another caller, Dan.
Republicans voted for Ross Perot.
Dan, we got to move on, buddy. We're running out of time.
I know you don't like to talk about a genius, Joe, but that's all right.
Joe is a genius. Why would he not want to discuss it? All right. Thank you very much.
Lance, you're on the mark.
Super appreciated. Go ahead, Lance.
Oh, okay.
Why? Sorry to put you through that.
Oh, no, that's just fine. I listen to you anyway on the speakerphone, so...
It's all good.
Yeah. Anyway, when you think about the accomplishments of our president...
You have to speak up just a little bit,
okay.
Please.
When you think about the accomplishments of our president, I have a graph on about everything that you can possibly think of and what was accomplished in the last 4 years of the Obama administration, and it was a whole lot more in the way of economics and getting the market to move and jobs and everything than what he was able to do in four. He's done a more in two. And all of the jobs that were lost during the Obama years and how much, you know, he's been able to do here. And I guess really it is, when you get down to it, our Trumpster's fault, our Trump, us, for being naive enough to think that the establishment was actually going to let old Trump, the political genius, to get away with what he wanted.
You got a lot of geniuses' words being thrown around today.
President Trump,
yeah.
Joe McGranahan, Ross Perot, Lance.
Yeah. You know, you ever see when Trump, I believe, one of the extremely well-known early English poets said that, when true genius shall appear upon the earth, ye shall know him by this sign. All of the morons are in confederacy against him. And that's really true. I mean, think of all the stuff that he tried to do that was kept from doing. Wow.
Who?
Now, we're talking about, not talking about this English poet anymore. We're talking about President Trump.
Yeah, it's President Trump. Yeah, right. And it would have been... Really terrific. Whatever you think you can do. He was able to do a lot for deregulating business, and that's what brought jobs to the people who were completely dissed by both parties when he got right to it. You know, the old working class core of our country.
Ross Perot, you're talking about now.
Who was both of those guys, yeah, just like Ross Perot.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
And President Trump also despised by the muckety-mucks in both parties.
That's why I was trying to tie the two together.
Gotcha. Well, no, I see the connection. Some people said we wouldn't have had a President Trump if we wouldn't have had a Ross Perot to start to talk about this idea that an individual who's a total outsider...
Well, we wouldn't have had a President Clinton if we hadn't had a Ross Perot.
I don't know. That's not true. Clinton would have won anyway.
No, he
wouldn't. Oh, yeah. Definitely he would have. All right.
I read a very long dissertation about that election, and really Clinton would have won anyway.
Thank you, Lance, and I agree.
I dispute that, but go ahead.
Well, what's your reasoning?
Well, because Ross Perot drew away votes from the Republican Party more than the Democratic Party.
And that's what they said. To see, there were a lot of old Reagan-style Democrats, you know, that would have voted.
You mean those
Bush,
segregationists that Joe Biden is accused of working with?
Bastard.
Oh, that's ridiculous, too. He had to work with the people that were there.
I agree.
And that's it. I don't place much store in that.
Well, of course, he praised them at the time, and now that's considered to be bad form.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But a man is to be judged in the action and the passion of his time, I believe. Was it Frederick Douglass? Anyway, one of the greats back then.
I don't know, but you're creating a lot of old poet work for old poets today.
How about it?
But you're right. I mean, whoever said that, they're absolutely correct. We are not judging people in the temper of their times anymore. We're judging them by today's standards, finding them unworthy, and eradicating their memory from our memory banks.
Taking down the statue.
I'll tell you what, I'll be thinking we're serious about it when the Margaret Sanger Award is pulled, and they say you can't wear a Che Guevara T-shirt. When they flatten those, I'll start to think they're serious.
All right. Noted. Thank you so much, Lance.
Thanks,
appreciate
Lance.
The call. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Time to take a quickie break. But before we do that, I want to implore you to call us. We've talked about immigration. One of our listeners sends us an email with the subject line incumbents. We'll read that on the air. We have talked about the election of President Clinton over Ross Perot and George H.W. Bush. We've talked talk a little bit about Homeland Security and AOC. We're going to talk about why it is fair to charge whites more to go to a concert, or why blacks get a discount if they go to said concert. So that's coming up very shortly. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We are enjoying open phones. We always remind you that the Sunbury Motor Company has a century of experience. It's an opportunity for you to find out lots more about what they do. They got tow trucks that are as big as a house there and small robots that can move your vehicle around. They are a premier service provider for all makes of cars and all sizes of trucks. They got the quick lane that's super quick for motors to get in there, get an oil change, and get back out. Or you can make an appointment and drop the vehicle off. You can even make the appointment online by going to sunburymotors.com. And maybe your vehicle's shot. You can buy a Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln. I personally prefer the Lincoln Navigator pickup truck with the double rows of seats, the moonroof, the power rear window, the six-foot bed with the tie-downs. It even has an electrical outlet in the back so you can plug in a heater if it's too chilly back there. And it's just a wonderful pickup truck to drive. And guess what? It's hybrid. So you're getting 30 miles to gallon in town, I think 28 on the highway, if I recall correctly. It's just a super vehicle. And it exists at the Sunbury Motor Company, as do some of the best Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincolns that you could be interested in. So check them out, please. We implore you to do so. Tell them Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan and Mr. Rob Center sent you.
The calendar may say that summer is here, but it's truly not summertime until the annual Summer Sizzler Sale at Shimock's Furniture. Hi, this is JP from Shimock's Furniture. Our annual Summer Sizzler Sale is one of our biggest sales of the year, and it's going on now. Just listen to these red-hot bargains. Laying dinettes starting at $199 with over 30 different styles in stock. Leather glider recliners are now just $399, four models available. Serta Queen adjustable sets starting at only $799. Save up to 40% on all adjustable bases. Save on furniture and accessories for every room in your home. Remember, you always get free delivery, setup, and removal of your old bedding or furniture. And don't forget, we always have 1 year interest-free financing available. See for yourself why Shimock's was voted Reader's Voice Best Furniture Store 4 years in a row. It's summertime, and the hottest deals of the year are now here during the annual Summer Sizzler Sale. It's truly not summertime until the annual Summer Sizzler Sale at Shimock's Furniture on Route 61 in Coltmont, at Shimock's.com, and on Facebook. Selling happiness since 1915.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Wow, Chris has wisely chosen to call during the middle of the show when there's unlimited time for him.
There's limited time for him.
Well,
every caller has a limited time.
In your view. Please, Chris, you are now on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Well, first of all, about your the policeman that got killed, or deputy sheriff, or whatever he was, deputy, I guess, that was killed. It was reported by CBS News, NBC News, Washington Post, and the New York Times.
Oh, you're saying that there was an argument that, or a supposition that it received no coverage.
Yeah, there was a story you were suggesting yesterday they didn't report it.
No, I don't think they were.
You on that.
I think that's what we were doing at all. We were just using it as part of a...
You did mention that yesterday.
It was
only on Fox News or something.
Well, I may have said I heard it only on Fox News, but...
Yeah, you talked about it, too. But anyway, moving on. The other thing about your election law, I think you answered your own question. What do Republicans do with election laws? They try to look at how Democrats vote and how to interfere with it. If Democrats like... the vote on early voting, you limit the days for early voting. They've done that. If Democrats like to vote absentee, you limit that.
Or straight party.
Yes, and you just said 85% of Democrats. I don't know if I really believe that.
No, I was making that, Chris.
It's true.
Chris.
85% of Democrats use straight line party vote, and only 32% of
Chris,
Republicans
I was making that
Therefore,
number up.
Let's make that illegal, and maybe they won't. Yeah, the Democrats won't go to some of the lower.
Chris,
have faced with a new system, won't realize they
Earth
have to go
Chris.
Down and vote individually on Joe each one
Chris.
Or something.
Chris,
it seems part and parcel. And you said it created freedom. it takes away a freedom.
Chris, I was making that. Chris, I was making that number up. I was just supposing. I was using it as an example. Though I have no idea what percentage of Democrats vote straight party as compared to Republicans.
It sounds like you believe that statistic.
No, I made it up. I just was using it as an example.
But and that would have answered your question.
But still, so you're saying that Democrats like to mindlessly vote the straight party line without any consideration.
No, they like to mindfully vote the straight party ticket. There you go.
So, in other words, you don't think it would be beneficial to require everybody to vote for each office? Republicans have the same problem.
I don't see why.
Well, I think it's voter suppression. You're always yelling about voter suppression on the part of the Republicans.
How is giving the ability to vote in one swoop of the lever interfere with that?
So you think in every election there is no better candidate ever than the Democrat?
No, but some people can think that. And if they're used to voting that way, changing it might cause confusion, which is what the Republicans like to do with changing the laws, and they've done it in the past.
Well, then you believe Democratic voters
are the same Republican changes.
You believe Democratic voters are too stupid then, if I gather what you're saying, to be able to go down the ballot and mark Democrat. Well, it sounds like you're saying they don't have the intelligence to figure out how to vote for the candidates they want.
Well, when you change something that's been the way they voted for a long time, and then you change it, it can cause confusion. Do you agree with that?
Yes, but look at the governor.
Okay,
Wait a second. You look at the governor. He's trying to change all the machines. That people are used to voting them on those machines for years. He wants to change them now. They're going to have to adapt, and I think the Democrats would have to adapt to the change, too.
The Republicans have a long history of creating ballots that will make it difficult.
So what's the governor doing here? I suppose his view is absolutely wonderful, and he's doing exactly the right thing.
No, I don't know what the story is. He gave three reasons, I think, right? You said that yourself.
Said there should be a paper trail.
Yes.
All right. Is that worth throwing everything out and confusing other voters who vote successfully without a paper trail?
Yes.
Okay, so that's worth doing, but making the Democrats vote for each individual candidate, that's not worth doing.
I don't see why it would be.
Okay.
Okay, now, it also, if you followed the news yesterday, you do a lot of whining about how Russians could change American votes. What influence could they have on the election? Well, they found out who started the Seth Rich story that Hannity went crazy about, reported on for 2 weeks, and then they told him not to, and then he started reporting it on in any way, and then he never apologized for the ridiculous story. He was the Democrat who got killed, and then they tried to blame him on the leak of the Democratic emails, party emails, which was really a Russian hack. And it turns out, no, the whole story originated was a Russian false story that the internet crazies picked up and then the Fox crazies picked up. And that was a big story for a week. And that's one of the shows how their influence was in the election.
All right, we'll give you the last word. Go right ahead. We got another caller coming in.
The guy didn't follow the rule. He probably should be lose his law license for it. You're supposed to, before you make a deal, like the settlement, the non-prosecution settlement that he made with Epstein.
A plea deal, right?
Yeah.
Are you required to do that?
Inform the victims. The victims were trying to get in touch with his office all along, and they never informed him until after the deal had been made, and it was already concluded before they informed the victims, which is against the law.
Sort of like what went on in Chicago with Jussie Smollett, huh?
I don't follow that at all, but if you want to believe that, go ahead. I don't understand how either the seriousness of the case or the or...
So you don't believe a man falsely claiming he was racially assaulted, you don't believe that's serious?
Not compared to letting a child molester off, no.
I think they're both serious.
yeah, but I don't see the comparison at all. He's not off, first of all.
Not now, and neither is Epstein. Epstein.
Well, we don't know that because there's his major defense is that the agreement he made forbade further federal prosecution.
Well, if that's the case, somebody should go to jail.
Guess who Barr is involved? That might be involved in that because Barr originally said he in the old case that he recused himself.
All right, we got you, Chris.
In the new case, he's not recusing himself.
All right, well, thank you so much, Chris.
For the record, I think Chris is smart enough to figure out how to vote for every Democratic candidate if he wants to without having the luxury, if you will, of marking a straight Democratic ballot.
Cindy, you're next. Thanks for waiting. Go right ahead.
Joe, isn't it true that only like 9 states have this push the button for the one party?
The others have gotten rid of it.
Yes, they've gotten rid of it. I think it would be appropriate for us to move in that direction as well.
Couldn't agree with you more.
But that's not why I called. I called because of the prompt about the, was it concert tickets and that one racial group gets a discount on the tickets?
Oh, yeah.
We didn't get to that story, but it's a biracial rapper pulled out of a Michigan music festival after she learned that white people would be charged twice the amount to attend than people of color.
Well, isn't that already an accepted standard in our society? There are many groups who enjoy a discount over other customers for the same product. For example, there are senior citizen discounts. There are veterans discounts. There are teachers discounts. I see this all the time. Teachers, you know, show us your card, you get a discount. If you're a veteran, and I'm not saying they're right or wrong. I think that the business owner makes a choice about what groups of people they want to advantage or disadvantage in their marketplace, and they do so. But that isn't unique to the difference between races. They do this for a lot of reasons. I mean, why should Joe get a discount and I don't?
Well, that's a good question. But, you know, in this racial society that we're living in, where everybody's supposed to be on equal footing, it seems that using race as a criteria to lower the cost is somewhat out of step with the times.
And you don't like that, Joe? You feel left out? You have to pay extra?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't go to a rap concert if they gave me a free ticket. That's just me personally.
Right. You wouldn't want to enjoy something new, different, culturally significant, or really part of a national trend, of course not.
I don't even understand what they're saying, Mark. They talk so fast. Most of the time, when I've tried to listen to rap music, I don't know what they're saying.
Well,
and when I say
ahead,
this, I feel
Cindy
like
now.
My grandmother, who used to tell me she couldn't understand what the Beatles were saying, and it was clear to me. So maybe I have a hearing loss at this age that is making it difficult. And then I discussed this with my son last week, who told me that there is now this new mumbling music, this mumble rap, and you're not supposed to understand it.
Oh.
They're literally mumbling on purpose. So that you can't understand. So he wants me to identify the song, and then he'll tell me whether I have a hearing loss problem, I'm culturally blind, or, you know, really it's just mumbling and you're not supposed to know.
That's like the years ago that probably date you and I, if we remember it, the Louie Louie debate as to whether or not they were singing foul words in there.
Well, I was there, you know, this. I can't remember the title of this song, but I was driving with my husband out west a couple of vacations ago, and I start to sing along with this song in which I think that the song is saying the word D-O-U-C-H-E, and I say this out loud, and it turns out they were actually singing D-E-U-C-E, and it referred to a car.
Oh, a deuce.
So that's blinded by the light.
You've misinterpreted.
Yes, very good.
What do you say?
That's exactly the song.
What
and
is it?
My husband made me sit down and listen
like
very
deuce,
slowly.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Little Deuce Coupe by the Beach Boys.
No.
Come on, Joe. Jeez.
And, I mean, there's a lot of those kinds of mistakes people misunderstand, and I always think it's funny. We, on our family, we sometimes purposefully mispronounce words and songs, and we all laugh gaily while we do it. But back to this issue, you know, I believe businesses get to choose their customers, right? Some are directing towards more affluent people. Some are directing towards middle class. Some center their business on young people. But we have so many examples that are tolerated in our society or acceptable or normative, like discounts for senior citizens, discounts for veterans, discounts for teachers, discounts for EFS
cash.
People
oh, I,
right
I just
now.
Bought something. I got a cash discount.
Well, let me ask you this
I'm
question.
I'm all for cash discount. I pay cash. You know, pay cash, then your spending is your private business. You pay on a credit card, they're selling your business.
The whole world is watching.
Cindy, let me ask you a question. What do you think would happen if the reverse of this issue were the case, that white people were given a 10% discount over people of color? You don't think there'd be a huge backlash over that?
Sure there would be.
Okay.
Sure there would be, Joe. I have no doubt. I mean, that's just the nature of our society right now. I think there's definitely a bias, but it's a bias against white people.
Cindy, while you're here, one of our listeners sends us a note that says, sorry, Cindy, discounts for seniors and such is not even close to being based on a whole race of people. I thought these ideals went away with the civil rights movement. Thanks to the liberals, racism is alive and well again. God help us all.
Well, I understand what they're saying, and they're trying to make a distinction. What I'm saying is that we in our society frequently see classes, groups of people who get a discount. Children under a certain age are admitted free. Children, you know, under 12 get a discounted ticket. This behavior of selecting groups of people by whatever measure you want to use and giving them a privilege, a discount, is endemic to our society and to many businesses. So I think this is just a natural extension of that.
I think
it's a good idea? No, I don't think we should be discounting to anybody. I mean, I'm about to be a senior citizen, and I won't take a senior citizen discount. And well, we went to a national park, and the lady in the booth was pretty insistent that I qualified for, literally, that I must qualify for
you
a senior
really
citizen
old, ma'am.
Discount.
You look really old, ma'am.
And I was adamant that I would pay the full price. And I wanted to do so because I wanted to support the national parks. I don't want the discount. I love the national parks, and I want to support them with my money right out
go.
Of my purse.
All right.
Lady, here is the full admission price.
Thank you so much
anyway.
For calling in.
Did you win that? Did you win that argument? Yes or no?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Here's
I always win, Joe. Anyway, bye.
Thanks, Cindy.
Thank you. All right, 1-800-795-9565. We just have one more commercial break, not two, but one. And Joe, you can read the bottom email, please.
It says, good morning, Joe. Stop making up numbers like the Republican Trump. I don't know why Americans are not ready to impeach him. He is lawless. He knew about the children being raped and still hired Acosta. Lawless, 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 liar, 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 and stupid president.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks.
All right, Bob.
Thank you. Have a nice
I was
day.
Using that only as an illustration as to why possibly the Democrats would oppose it. I never asserted that was the actual number. I think if you go back and listen to the tape, let's cue up the tape and hear what I said.
Well, see, Joe, words matter. So when you say something, people have in the previous segments of the show learned to trust you, but now it turns out that you just exaggerate willy-nilly all over the place and make up numbers.
So let's get the police back into Starbucks, Mark. Stop trying to keep
See? President McGranahan is in. All right. We're going to take another break. But when we come back, we have one more email pending. We also have, we'll read this about a rap concert you can go to. If you're white, you pay the set fee. But if you're black, you get a discount. 1-800-795-9565. I think it's perfectly appropriate.
Actually, you've got that reversed.
Oh.
It's the low ticket price for the black folks or people of color, and the white folks pay a surcharge of $10.
Oh, month. I see. So So the set fee, the proper fee, the admission is, let's say, $10, but if you're white, you get a surcharge. It's double for you.
Right.
And the old white man in the room says, that's wrong.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows you're vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
I think this is where that part starts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never noticed it, but you can't understand a word he's saying.
I know, and that's what sparked the debate.
All right, fabulous. Thank you so much, Rob. Super appropriate bumper music. And what
dating
was the
myself,
thing about
that?
That
was from my days as a disc jockey years ago.
And what was the thing about a deuce?
Wrapped up like a deuce, another runner in the night, but I never understood that lyric anyway.
That's Blinded by the Light.
Right, Blinded by the Light. Who was that?
Manfred Mann.
Manfred Mann, right.
Okay, and what is he actually saying?
He's saying, wrapped up like a deuce, another runner in the night.
The deuce is a vehicle.
Oh, okay.
Right. And why is it? Why is a vehicle wrapped up? Wrapped up like a deuce, another runner in the night.
Well, it's a mystery. All right, here's an email that relates to incumbents in office.
Dick says, I listened to your interview with the Republican candidate for Fred Keller's seat several days ago. He wouldn't commit to a term limit. Stated elections determine term limits. Well, I researched and read where approximately 90% of incumbents are reelected. They, incumbents, have a real advantage even if they aren't a good representative. It is hard to get them out of office. They, in most cases, have their team in place and have a financial advantage, accumulated money from past campaigns. So to me, term limits are a must for every office. It is not what you can do for me, but what have you done to me?
And that's true. This new individual doesn't favor term limits, so he'll stay in office, what did he guesstimate, 25 years if reelected. He will take all the pay raises. He will take the per diems that involve actually doing your job. If you do your job, then you get some extra money in Harrisburg. He'll take that. So he's just the opposite of Fred Keller in every way in terms of, you know, getting not agreeing with all the perks and things that really make it a full-time job. So,
well, I think he did say that he wouldn't take the pension. Did he not?
Well, he's not going to take the pension. Yeah, good point. Yeah, I'm glad you had that memory to clarify that. So, but yeah, he's no Fred Keller. There's no argument about that. All right, 1-800-795-9.
Wait a second. You mean in terms of finances, he's no Fred Keller, but you don't know whether he'd be a good representative or not. You're not making that a statement, are you?
Yeah, he's no Fred Keller under any circumstances, under any way.
Oh, go back to keeping the police out of Starbucks. Yeah, I think you're on firmer ground there.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. If you'd like to speak in favor of candidate David Rowe, who we are talking about, who's the GOP 85th district candidate, he was on the show immediately after he was nominated. You can hear his remarks on the WKOK podcast page immediately after he was nominated. And then he just made a 10-minute appearance, plus his comments were on our Best Of segments, so we heard those. And he's agreed to come in this month and appear on the show. He will not appear with Dr. Jennifer Rager Kay on this show.
Oh, he definitely did turn
right,
down.
No, yep, he's not interested in that. Well, he has everything to lose and
well,
nothing to gain,
is,
so why kill yourself?
He is doing an event with the League of Women Voters in the chamber, is he
right,
not?
Right, yep. He's going to be there with a set of questions, not in open forum. Now, the public will be able to, if they choose, to submit a question to the league, who will give it to a moderator, and it's slightly possible that the question will get to the candidates. But it is not an open forum. It's not a free give and take. They're not in the same room arguing with each other or discussing important issues face to face.
So, in other words, the only way to get something out of one of these meetings is to have a debate that involves yelling and screaming and pounding your fist on the table?
No, if I were a candidate running for office, I would wish to face the voters and individuals who disagree with me in an open forum. That's all. I don't think the chamber and the League of Women Voters squelches anything, but you can't say, okay, this is an open forum. Well, no, it's not. It's the audience submitting questions, then they're screened and potentially weeded out and eliminated by the League of Women Voters, then they're screened and potentially eliminated out by the moderator, and then finally read to the candidates. Well, that's not quite open. It's a screened and possibly eliminated question
but
and answer
session.
But if
you have a series of issues, I personally like the way we did it with Fred Keller and Mr. Friedenberg.
Very, very, very controlled. Right.
Well, it was because we picked the questions out that we thought would be of general interest to the people in the room and that would provide some background into how the candidates might react in Washington. And then we gave them those questions in advance and let them think about what their answer was going to be so that when we got there and we said to them, you've got 2 minutes to give us an answer, they had had time to prepare a reasonable response within that time frame.
Joe, if you ever hear an open forum, you'll probably appreciate it, which I don't
think
you do.
I've conducted open forums.
Don't think you have.
Yes, I have.
If they're conducted, they're not open. All right, Joe, read the email, and then Mr. Lance is waiting again.
I can hardly wait till you leave for 14 days.
Why? Because of the Starbucks thing.
Right. Let's see. One of our writers says, good morning. What does it take for Trumpers to see our President Trump is not make America great again? He is making every other country. Trump makes America hate again. This childish president is making crimes look like it's nothing to lie, lie, lie. I hope he is on some of those tapes about the sex and children, and he is caught, handcuffed, and lock him up.
All right. Lance, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Well, at least Trump isn't a baby killer. That's what I look at. Anything else he does is like jaywalking, you know, compared to Jeffrey Dahmer, like I said before.
Okay.
But anyway, that structured fees, you know, for getting into concert.
Oh,
well, that's
great.
Really, yeah. Well, that's really just the way the whole society is. It is, you know, the white folk pay and everybody else rides along. That's the way it is. It's sort of like, remember the bake sale they had at Bucknell?
Oh, that's right.
Cupcakes. Right.
People.
Yeah, the cupcakes cost more for the white men.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went from there. And we're talking about lyrics to songs. Why a deuce coupe is a two-seater coupe.
So, okay.
Yeah. But anyway, here's a Sunday school story.
Very briefly, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. We've only got a couple seconds. Okay.
I'm aware.
Sunday school. And one kid says to the teacher, what's God's name? The teacher said, I don't think God has a name. Hand went up, you know, another little kid. He said, I know God's name. It's Andy. So well, how do you know that? Well, you know the song. Andy walks with me. Andy talks.
All right.
Classic example of misunderstanding the lyrics. Very good one, Lance.
Fabulous.
All right.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
You bet.
Bye-bye. Well, speedy dialers now, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. So you don't like the fact that whites are charged more to go to this concert?
Well, even the rapper, Tiny Jag, whose real name is Jillian Graham, was scheduled to perform at Afro Future Fest's event in Detroit in August, but when she learned about the ticket inconsistency based on race, she quickly dropped out. She said, I was immediately enraged just because I am biracial, Graham told the Detroit Metro Times. I have family members that would have, under those circumstances, been subjected to something that I would never want them to be in, especially not because of anything that I have going on. The early bird people of color tickets cost $10, while non-POC tickets cost $20, the news outlet reported. The rapper said she learned of the festival's pay model when a white friend sent her a screenshot of an Instagram advertisement. She later publicly withdrew her support.
Mm.
So, in other words, it's not just giving black people or people of color a discount. It's charging white people more to go to the same event. And the rationale was Afrofuture explained their policy for it on their Everbright page. Organizers cite equality and equity in their ticketing and state the structure was built to ensure that the most marginalized communities, people of color, are provided with an equitable chance to enjoy events in their own community, Black Detroit.
All right. Yeah, it's a good idea. It doesn't surprise me that it's popular. It's sold out, so that would not surprise me.
So let's go back to Starbucks. We're going to charge white people more for a cup of coffee because we want people of color to have more opportunities to get coffee at a lower price in their neighborhoods.
So, Joe, suddenly, through the miraculous osmosis of reading one article from CNN, understands the black community and says, this is wrong.
I think we fought for equality in this country. Equality is equality. We either play on a level playing field or we don't.
Right, and you think we've
and
achieved equality,
No, but I'm saying that that's our goal. So how does this advance equality? Explain that to me. How does this advance racial understanding and cooperation between the races? How does it?
I think if you reread it or read it more carefully, you'll find that they're not interested in advancing equality. What they are interested in doing is assisting individuals who have been on the margins of society. Since we do not have yet achieved this aforementioned equality that you talk about, this is some assistance for individuals who haven't yet achieved it.
What about poor white people who might like this type of music?
I think they'll have to go to every other concert
in the
world.
They're going to have to get 10 more bucks to buy a ticket.
Well, either that or they can go to a regular concert elsewhere, one that you can understand the words.
Let's go to Starbucks and have a cup of coffee.
There's too many cops there. This is WKOK Sunbury.